You are listening to the Experience Points Podcast for the week of December 19th, 2018, and it is the 4th Annual Gammy Awards!
Buddy, this is the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators and co-hosts of the Experience Points Podcast Gamey Awards. It's the 2018 Gamey Awards, everybody.
The fourth annual, can you believe it? 4 years, and this show just keeps getting better and more professional.
More star-studded, more expensive, higher budgets.
Yep, more exclusive trailers.
Higher alcohol intake.
Yep. We just have to remember to put the trailers in the podcast this year. Every year, we just keep forgetting to put in all those choice announcements.
Every year, Kojima-san comes to us with some hot skloozies, and we just forget to put them in the notes. That's maybe exactly this year, right. Mr. Kojima.
Yeah, maybe this year.
This is our custom award ceremony that we do every year, where we take our favorite game categories, put up some nominees, and debate, and eventually crown winners, including the crown jewel, the gamiest game of the year.
Yeah, the honorable gamey. Past winners have included Fallout Shelter.
Yep.
No Man's Sky.
Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain.
Oh my God, what a gamey game that was. Really? I mean, if we did like a, you know, like bring all the past contestants back. I still feel like, yeah, that would be up there. That would definitely be up there. We also bring in new categories and sunset some old ones. So, you know, we won't have the Best Buddy Award this year.
Yeah.
Even though 2018 that was a good
category. A lot of buddies.
Not a whole lot of buds out there. But we've got some choice doozies I'm very proud of, Scott. Yeah. So,
let's start with the first one.
All right. The first award, and that is for the Prettiest Game Award.
Prettiest game.
And the nominees are Red Dead Redemption 2, Gris. I presume that's pronounced Gris?
I was hoping that you knew. It's GRIS. It's that amazing looking game that just came out on Switch and Steam.
So I have played Gris. I'm going to call it Gris because it's also about colors, and that's French for gray, right?
That makes sense. So let's go with that. Yeah.
God of War and Florence, a fun mobile game from Annapurna.
Man. So we say the prettiest game because this is not the most photorealistic game. It is not the most colorful game. It is the highly scientific term of prettiest game.
Yes.
Man, this is a strong category this year, I feel.
You know what I think games have gotten really good these days is volumetric lighting. Because Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn last year.
Yeah.
Light streaming through tree branches.
Yes.
In the mist has never looked so delectable as it has over the past couple of years.
God, I was just playing Red Dead Redemption 2 last night, and for whatever reason, it was nighttime, it was misty, the moon was out, the trees were kind of obscuring it. I was like, this game looks incredible.
Yeah. Random passerbys were saying, Hey, mister,
my foot, help.
I'm trying to enjoy the night, goddammit.
Yeah, it's like, you just play with those wolves over there. I don't care.
I think that the mist, especially over the like swampy bayou in Red Dead, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, Gris looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. So I played this game, and we may talk about this, may or may not talk about this in the Game of the Year podcast or future episodes coming up. This game is absolutely phenomenally beautiful. Mm-hmm. It has music by The Berlinists, which is just so good. A lot of watercolor layers and stuff. Yeah, it is real pretty.
God of War? I mean, stunning kind of from beginning to end.
Snow. Good snow. Yep. And Florence, which is lots of blood. And Florence, which is basically like a comic book style, which is also really pretty.
It does look very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm vacillating between Gris and Red Dead.
Oh, I'll just be the decider then. It's got to be Gris. Like, I just finished playing this game. And I mean, look, Red Dead is great. But when you go up to someone's face in that game, Like, there are characters that's like, something is not right with this, the sculpting of this man's skull.
That's just the Wild West. People were, you know, it was hard living. That was a lot of horse kicks.
It's just the way it is, you know? It's like whenever you watch TV in, from Britain and you just notice how people's teeth look a little funny compared to American teeth.
Oh, that's just the PAL versus NTSC formats. They're actually very normal.
That's true. That's also true. So Gree, you think, winner?
I think Gree. I think we'll give it to Gree. It crazily came out, what, like a week ago or something? Like, really, yeah. Just slid under the wire.
Really sneaking itself in there, yeah. So, pretty game. Good job, Gree. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Gree. All right. Speaking of Red Dead Redemption 2, the next category is the most superfluous system in Red Dead Redemption 2.
God, I love this category.
The nominees are fishing, the morality slider, the cores system, gun cleaning, crafting, and horse brushing / management.
God, horse brushing, dude.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
All I mean, fishing. Okay, fishing is always superfluous. I think we can say.
I'm trying to find a game other than Big Mouth Sea Bass or whatever that was the actual game itself.
Yeah, you know what sucks about Red Dead Fishing in particular? It's especially not very fun. There's no there's no challenge to fishing. You know, like breaking. You ever broken a line while fishing in Red Dead?
No, I fished one time for the mandatory story mission and decided I would never do it again.
Well, okay. Counterpoint for fishing, though. Uh-huh. It's a good excuse to be out on the bay in the morning when it's, you know, you're getting a good bite. See, yeah. That mist. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're leaning into the prettiness of the game.
Mm. Maybe I would have fought harder for Red Dead if I had fished more.
I'm going to veto morality slider right off of that because, honestly, I actually do think it serves a purpose.
Really?
Yes.
I have not paid any attention to it at all.
It is a spoiler to discuss it. So we'll have to hold off when we eventually talk about the end of Red Dead. But I do think that there's a purpose for the morality slider. So that one's out the window.
Okay, we will veto that. How about the cores system?
The fucking cores. You know what? Even the fact that they call it the cores. Here's the thing. I think we can collapse this in horse brushing because there are horse cores.
Right, because those are, I guess technically you're right. Those are the horse cores.
Yeah, the horse cores are pretty rough. Because they're just an arbitrary limit to how fast you can run.
Right. And also, the frustrating thing is, they don't... The problem with the cores is that they are present enough to be irritating, but not present enough to really pay much attention to them.
Yes. Like, I've only ever ran out of stamina, like, twice.
But it's those always times, in your head.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, I should have eaten that goddamn biscuit.
Yeah, like, it's... Yeah, I feel very strongly about that. Okay, gun cleaning. Another thing that is halfway pointless, but also kind of makes a difference every once in a while.
I'm going to put this one in the lead for me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think this is all the way pointless. Like, gun cleaning is like the dumbest shit because the frequency you have to clean your guns is actually surprisingly high.
Yeah, totally. You know? And every once in a while I look at my guns and I'm like, oh shit, this gun seems to be almost breaking,
it's
and
all,
I didn't even know.
It's all gummy. Oh, yeah. God, what did I get on this pistol? Like,
it's all slinky.
And you look at it, and it's like rust and shit. Like, you just left it out. Like, you keep this in like a fine... What is the purpose of a holster, you know, if it's not keeping my gun clean? And then on top of that, right, you need gun oil. Oh, you can only carry 3 gun oils. You know, never mind the fucking thousands of pounds of raw buffalo meat you have in your satchel. Like, only 3 gun wheels. You can only ever clean 3 guns at once, even though your fucking gun wheel has like 7 guns on it, you know?
Okay, crafting.
Here's the thing. Well, going back to gun cleaning, though, for a second. One benefit of gun cleaning, it's the only, and this goes back to crafting also, good segue, Scott. Mm. It's the only reason or way you ever have of actually looking at your gun.
Yep. That's
for all
true.
The gun customization and crafting you can do.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That's a great point. I mean, okay. So the crafting things. There are some crafting where it's just like, craft a thing to make your camp look different.
Yep.
And then there's some things where it's like, okay, you can do some crafting to like upgrade your camp so you can get better ammo or medicine or whatever.
Yeah.
But there are some crafting things where you're right, like, put some metal inlay on the holster of this gun that you will never, ever see.
I mean, my guns look dope as hell when I'm cleaning them with my gun oil. That's the only time. The crafting that gets me, though, is the carving X's in my bullets, which fucking takes forever.
Yep.
And like the meals and stuff. Like, oh, I gotta find like, I gotta pick some sage to just rub that bad boy on that raw venison. I mean, I've got to then get the thing, and then, you know, and then, well, here's the thing. I only do that to feed the cores. You know, it all goes back to those cores. Even gun cleaning. Well, gun cleaning, not so much.
Yeah, I feel like the, I mean, I guess crafting, I guess the problem is the term superfluous. Do we mean superfluous in that it adds annoying, no value, and not fun, or does it add no mechanical significance, or like
I would say it adds no value to my play experience from an enjoyment perspective.
Right. I mean, I feel like then crafting maybe escapes unscathed because I could see. I mean, I did craft a legendary bear hat, and it was very amusing. And that, you know, that has some value, I suppose. Like just the pure amusement of it.
Well, and then the cores kind of make sense with Deadeye. You know, like not the other ones, but Deadeye, I guess.
I guess I just don't understand why you would need a core when you could also have a meter. And you have both,
that's
right?
True.
Like, why not just have a meter?
Yeah, because like the meter refills when you're like tied to your post or whatever.
Right.
But why clean your fucking gun, dude? Like, it's not even gonna jam. If it ran into the Far Cry 2 thing,
yes,
where it would jam if I didn't. Like, I would way rather have it be, you have to clean your gun less frequently, but if you ignore it, it can cause a disaster.
Right.
Like, a disastrous level of corruption of your gun.
Wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden the gun like backfired on you, where like it actually hurt you? It's like, well, you should have been cleaning that fucking gun.
Should've
fucking
cleaned the gun.
There's fucking leaves in it. You know?
Yeah. If, or if you fired it and just like fucking a can of peas came out of the front.
You fired it and a little flag that says bang comes out of it.
I think gun cleaning takes, dude. What a fucking stupid. I mean, it's so bad.
The clincher was your point around how if you neglect it, there actually is no hard ramification of it. It just is shittier.
Well, yeah, it's because
it never
stops
you. It's never a blocker.
Well, there's never a point also where I get a headshot, the guy doesn't die, and a little notification goes like, well, you should have cleaned your gun.
right. Like, it's a weird RPG thing in a game that has binary death states.
And there's no feedback loop. Like, there's no way for me to know unless I have to look at my gun to see that it's dirty. Ugh.
Right. Oh, man. The cores and gun clean, that was a good battle, but I think gun cleaning.
God, there are some really superfluous systems.
This game is just a fucking, it's like the fucking menu of a Chili's. Like, there's just everything.
Bacon on everything.
All right. Well, congratulations to Gun Cleaning for taking the award of most superfluous system in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, good times. Okay, the next award. This is another new contender.
Yep.
And this is the, well, I have to do something until Spelunky 2 comes out award. this category, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is something that you came up with, so all credit to you, Scott. This is the game that I'm like, well, you know what? I'm waiting for Spelunky 2. I'm going to get in some difficult puzzle platforming randomness chaos. Is that right?
You got to do something. Like, I mean, there's a Spelunker-sized hole in my heart, and it has to be filled by something.
That's right. Okay, the nominees that we can fill that gaping hole in your heart with are replaying Dark Souls on the Switch, very good, Into the Breach, Dead Cells, Hollow Knight, and Celeste.
Oh, man.
These are some good games also. Every single one of these is a great game, hands down.
Totally. I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons where it's like, I need a high quality, high skill ceiling, iterative experience, because that's what Spelunky gave me, and I need that, you know, I need that fix. And so I was just thinking about the games that provided that.
You know, I think there's already one contender in the lead for this category, to be honest. And the reason is because when I think about OG Spelunky, I think about all of our numerous Spelunky co-op disaster play sessions, and just the sheer replayability of that, and like the random chaos that comes with that. And the one game that I think I played the most on this list of these games is Into the Breach.
Yeah.
Not a platformer, but that recurring nature of that game, the replayability, oof, it's good.
There's also, there's also, in its own way, there is a lot of weird haphazard things that happen where it's like, I'm gonna shoot this guy, oops, it pushed him into an explosive device which blew up a building and also damaged me, you know, like there's a lot of just systemic emergent systemic things. So it's like there is something to that.
That's true. There's also that immediate regret I get when I do something horribly wrong and I'm like, fuck, I already used my take back to just do some like minor optimization.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one that I had kind of leading. I'd be open to any counter arguments, but that's my definitely my leader right now.
I mean, I think that's probably it.
Such strong games, though. Like, I will say, like, all of these games are just, they have that thing where there's a high skill ceiling and a very nuanced set of mechanics that you're working with.
The one that I think that gives the most run for its money is Dead Cells. But I don't think Dead Cells has, as you rightly call out, that chaotic randomness or that emergent systemic stuff that Into the Breach has.
Are we calling it Into the Breach?
Into the Breach. Congratulations, Into the Breach. The winner.
All right. For our next category, we have the Which Smash Character Would Be the Most Chill Roommate Award.
On the top of our minds, this one.
On the top of our minds, because we are... I finally met all of my roommates, my potential roommates.
All your 76. Yeah, it's like finding a roommate in San Francisco, you know? You just put out the feelers and then thousands of people apply.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So we'll, who do we have here? We have Isabel, Princess Peach, Ice Climbers, and Ness. Yeah. I think it would also be funny to say who would be the most terrible roommate.
I think that's a good... You know, if we took chill literally... Ice Climbers, I mean,
might win on a technicality.
I mean,
but you know what? No. I'm going to disqualify Ice Climbers because that's two roommates.
That's a very good point. Well, but maybe they share a room. Maybe they're bunk buddies. Maybe they're twins, you know? Like what? Hey, think of it this. Think about it this way, though, Scott. You're splitting the rent three ways. Checkmate, Sakurai.
That is a good one. Princess Peach, never have to worry about rent money.
That's true. Also,
actually,
she
no. You know what? No, screw that. Royalty. People will always be trying to bust into your house to kidnap her.
Peach, do you take the child? Oh, God damn it! She's been kidnapped again.
You know, at 3 a.m, there will be some huge rabid gorilla trying to break into your house to steal her. Like it's.
That's a good point. Yeah. Here's why I think Isabelle and Ness are the real finalists here. Mm-hmm. They both, in their Smash kit, exhibit a joy of hobbies. Ness is into baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yo-yos.
Yo-yos. Oh, dude. He's my winner. I mean, what do you mean? Like, he's a yo-yo trick. I mean, I've never seen him do, like, the sleeping dog. So, you know, maybe he's just, like, an amateur yo-yo artist.
Yeah, I mean, Isabel, you got to start somewhere.
Isabel, fishing and gardening.
That's true.
You know, she could plant some herbs.
I will also say that both of them have the most experience living in a normal ass environment.
That's true. You don't want fucking like Dr. Mario up in there, like you walk in on him like crushing up tablets on the mirror and like snorting that stuff in the cabinet. Yeah. Captain Falcon just like fucking wheels into the garage.
Captain Falcon, I've shown you my moves already. Stop yelling at me.
Yeah, these are the normies of the Smash world.
I feel like Isabel might be there because it seems like you'd get into some weird situations with Ness's psychic power.
Well, yeah, he knows that you've like secretly been using his Netflix account.
Or just he like inappropriately uses telekinetic, you know, things to like just pick up things around the house, or I don't know.
Picking up around the house, that's a great quality. Counterpoint, here's why I think Ness has to be our winner. Isabel is a dog, then, you know, you can't necessarily have pets.
So, oh, shit.
You know what I
mean? Here's the thing, though. Is that a technicality? Can you not have a dog or can you not have a pet? Because she's definitely not a pet. Also, would you be her roommate? Because then you could just live in Animal Crossing land.
That's true. Yeah, maybe she'll have you. Well, those houses are super small, though.
And I don't want to deal with fucking Mr. Rossetti.
Well,
and
that's
Tom
a good
Noke
point, though. Ness is a child. Can he even pay rent?
His dad just.
Well, his dad pays rent.
Ness is the clincher because not only does he have hobbies, he's totally chill, he's just a normal person, not some crazy superhero or something. He's also a trust fund baby.
That's exactly right, dude.
He has an unlimited supply of cash from his absentee dad, and you'll never have to worry about it. Totally chill.
Nessa's our new roommate. Congratulations. You can move in at the end of the month.
I love it. Congrats, Nessa. So good.
All right. Well, talking about dads, the next category is the best worst dad of the year. These just go to the real stinker fathers out there. And the nominees are Arthur Morgan.
God, when that was revealed, it was great. Yes. Sorry, go on with the rest of them.
Spoiler alert, yeah. Arthur Morgan. Sorry, okay. Yeah. Kratos. That's a good one. John Marston.
Mm-hmm.
He's, man, worst dad again. The King of the Cosmos. And Leo Caruso from A Way Out, which we almost forgot we played this year.
Fuck. I mean, this is a good list of bad dads.
Yeah.
I think we have to make a decision as to whether... I think we have to make a decision that centers around Kratos.
Oh, because I think whether or not he's a bad dad?
Exactly. Because I think he out of all of these people... I mean, I definitely... You know, it's pretty rough, but...
Do you ever call Sam boy, like after you started playing God of War?
I did, and then every once in a while he says, father.
Sweet.
Kratos does generally do the right thing by his son.
Yeah.
Although he puts his son in terrible situations 24/7.
Well, I mean, his protective barrier went out, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of, you got to do what you got to do, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like if you came home and your house was on fire. Like, you might have to go somewhere.
Sam, we're climbing a mountain.
I don't know. Leo Caruso is a criminal, though.
He is a criminal, and not like a good criminal.
Like, he's not even successful at it.
Yeah.
And it's not a good game. So he's also guilty of that.
He suffers that as well.
Shit, doesn't even the other character play basketball with him? Like, he's too busy to even play basketball with this kid.
Let me be honest, I forgot which one Leo was, and I forgot which one had a kid, and so maybe that automatically puts him towards the front runner.
Oh, only one of them has a kid, and it's Leo. So. Okay.
Well, I remember we played basketball with his kid.
Is it Leo? Maybe it's the other one.
I think the fact that we don't even know whose kid is whose suggests that they are probably a pretty terrible father.
I think Arthur Morgan. Well, here's the thing. He might not be a good actual dad. He is pretty fatherly to John and the rest of the gang.
Well, and it seems like by his own admission, he knows that he made mistakes, and he looked back on it thinking that I was trying to do right the way I could when I was young and stupid.
Yes. Well, just like Kratos, neither of them want their children to be like them.
Right. Right.
That's a sign of a good dad.
That is true.
Even if you're a shitty dad.
Well, like, if you... Exactly. Like, you might be a bad dad, but at least you are trying and failing versus not trying at all.
It's dad redemption. Dad redemption.
Red dad redemption.
Red dad redemption.
Fuck.
Shit, that's good.
Yeah.
John Marston is the same. I would, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
Okay. The King of the Cosmos is an abusive father, though, so I think he wins.
I mean, that... I just remember I've been, you know, kind of watching and dipping back in because they did that re-release for the Switch. And it's just like, just how savage he is to the prince.
Never good enough. You're never good enough.
But also that makes him the best because he's just so hilariously abusive.
That's true. Yeah. He's got to be the best worst dad here.
King of the Cosmos or Leo Caruso. I mean, I guess just absentee. Like, that kid's probably better off.
That's true. The myth of his dad. Of like, oh, he escaped prison, son. It was amazing.
Right. Okay. King of the Cosmos. It has to be him, right?
Yep. Yeah.
The King of the Cosmos. Oh,
very good. Very good. Ooh, the next category I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shall I read this one?
Yes.
Okay. This one is a perennial. I feel like we've done this one every single year.
Yeah. It's up there with the gamey as one of the most prestigious categories. Although, I'm going to be honest, I think this year... some of the nominees aren't as good as they've been in the past.
Yeah, I would say both for buddies and for this category, the best waifu / husbandu material. I feel like this was a lean year in terms of companionship, both platonic and romantic.
Man, yeah, you're right. It's lonely out there in 2018.
Yeah, weirdly. I don't know what the deal is, but for our nominees for the best waifu / husbandu material, Sadie Adler from Red Dead, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Agent 47 from Hitman 2, and Incineroar from Smash.
Yeah. I mean, he's the rest. Honestly, I put Incineroar because he has just amazing chest hair.
I mean, yeah, if you are into, I mean, he just checks so many boxes. If you're into buff people, checked.
Yep.
If you're a furry, checked. If you're into bears, checked. Yeah,
pro wrestling.
If you're into pro wrestling, check. If you're into Pokemon, check.
He is one of the most anthropomorphic Pokemon.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't run on all fours, you know? Yep. Like, you can't marry Squirtle. That's not going to work.
You know, just get water states. Everywhere.
In some states, it's not even legal.
Yeah.
Sadie Adler's really good.
She's solid.
I think, in fact, Sadie Adler is the best side character in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every moment I had to, there's a couple optional quests that you can go on with her, and like I always accepted those.
Yeah.
Peter Parker.
Peter Parker is a bad boyfriend in Spider-Man, but maybe if you put a ring on it, you know?
Is he a menace, as J. Jonah Jameson likes to say?
Maybe he would shape up. You know,
Tell me, because I didn't play that game. So tell me what his behavior was like in that game.
He slings webs. Oh, you mean like relationship? Yeah.
Yes.
So in the beginning of the game, he's broken up with Mary Jane because he's a little bit controlling and he's got the whole like superhero thing and it's kind of like separate from his world. And he doesn't really respect Mary Jane's ability to be her own badass. To be fair, she does get caught by people. At least I got caught like a dozen times, so maybe he was right in that, you know? Maybe it's better to be protected.
Right.
He does act as a sort of father figure to Miles a little bit, you know? So he's got that going for him.
Right.
He's friendly. He's in your neighborhood.
Yeah, he seems nice. He seems like one of the more, responsible characters in the Marvel Universe.
I mean, he still lives with his aunt. Actually, I think he has his own apartment in this one.
Oh, he moved out of Queens.
It's not a good apartment, though. Like, he does not get steady income, you know?
Agent 47.
Yes. I have not played the new Hitman games.
But I have watched a lot of them. They're great. They're great streaming material.
Oh, so good. Yeah. He stands out to me because he could take on any role. He could be a chef.
He's also a mass murderer, though.
Well, I mean, he does his job, Scott. I mean, like, I guess he's hired. True. You know what I mean? He's not a serial killer.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, he is literally a serial killer, but I mean,
well, but I mean, like, if they have it coming, you know, it doesn't really count.
He's a professional serial killer.
Yeah, he's an agent, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
The 47th one, I assume.
He's
bald, though,
worry
which is
that
just really not my bag.
Is there a worry that he would just put on a disguise and disappear if you got in a fight and you'd never see him or hear from him again?
Yeah. That's true.
I feel like this is really rolling the dice this year, like just in terms of like high risk, high reward for settling down.
Well, and Sadie Adler's 0-1 for keeping her husband alive, you know?
I mean, I blame the O'Driscolls for that one. Actually, I will say, what did she do? She avenged her husband's death to the extreme.
That's true. She basically killed
an entire family of like extended Irish cousins and all of that.
Well, okay. Well, then follow up question though: are we talking about Sadie Adler at the end of Red Dead 2? Because she also has a drinking problem and a killing problem.
That's true.
You know, like, also, no one bathes because it's the 19th century.
Well, but if you don't bathe, it probably all comes out.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Incineroar it is.
I was about to say, do you think Incineroar?
I mean, like, in a weird way, like, he is the most stable of all of them. You know, here's the one thing. Well, he flexes, you know, like, in between every moves. He's a little arrogant, I guess, in that way.
That's true.
But maybe he knows his own thing.
Yeah, exactly. He has his own thing. He seems to be very competent at it.
He's probably good in bed.
I mean, obviously. Grappling.
he's a grappler. Professional. Yeah, he's a grappler. I think it's Incineroar. I mean, everyone else is just, you know, they have baggage.
Yeah, yeah. And Incineroar is the... I mean, he seems like he is the most clear-minded of everyone.
Yeah, he's the most put together. He has a belt, for crying out loud. He's won.
He's a champion.
Yeah, he's a champion. Incineroar, I choose you.
You are the best husbandu material of the year.
Congratulations.
Wow. A freaking Pokemon.
Surprisingly difficult category. I know. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Again, 2018. Not a great year for the time they're not.
All right. What's our next one?
Next category is the biggest gear grinders. We're excluding most of, well, some of Red Dead. The nominees are unlocking Super Smash Bros. Ultimate characters. Very good. Yeah. Fortnite.
Just Fortnite.
Just Fortnite. Red Dead Redemption 2 button mapping.
Yes.
King K. Rool. And Far Cry 5 kidnappings.
Let's and biggest gear grinders is just the thing that just really irritate us. They're not necessarily like, you know, life or death things or bad for the industry. Yes.
It, not it a could judgment be, of the game quality at all.
Yeah, it's just things. It could be or it could not be, but regardless of what it is, it's extremely irritating.
Yes.
Tell me about Far Cry 5 kidnappings, because I did not play that.
They are exactly what you imagine a Far Cry 5 kidnapping would be when you hear that term. You will be playing the game, and then you'll get darted and kidnapped by one of the crazy people in that game. And then you're sort of forced to go through a segment where you have to escape whatever psychotic member of the cult family happened to kidnap you. There's
is
no
this
avoiding
a story-related thing, or is this something?
It is 100% story-related. It is their way of forcing you back onto the story if you're, like, out wandering the wilderness. But it will happen when you're in the middle of like a safe haven. You could be like taking a shit and all of a sudden poof. Psychotic drug cult kidnapping.
I mean, that's more extreme than because that's not 100% new, because they did that for I think 3 and 4, but it was like very much part of the storyline. Like it wasn't actively pulling you back in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is, it is a forced story kidnapping. You were quite literally kidnapped in order to continue the story.
I mean, I feel like that is irritating, but gosh, there are some bangers on this list.
Unlocking Smash characters. God.
God, that is, I mean, that has to be, I mean, that is in the, that's a contender in, right off the bat.
Right off the bat, yeah. So is Fortnite, though. I mean, that's, we don't even need to talk about that. Fortnite's up there. Have you played against King K. Rool online? Or a computer.
I have played against, I think, one or two online matches, and I've played as him a fair amount, just versus CPU.
He is, I think I'm okay saying he is busted right now in Smash.
Oh, really?
He has two heavy armor attacks, where he just power through whatever you're doing to him.
Yep.
He's got a counter.
Yep.
He's got, his back air is a down slam. Mm-hmm. So he can really safely punish off the ledge. And he can suck you up with his gun and then just defend the ledge that way.
Yeah. He's pretty annoying. Pretty and also, he obnoxious. Just does massive amounts of damage. So, like, compounding all of those moves.
And he's a heavy character, which means he does insane damage. I watched a video where someone was fighting him, and they had him up to, like, 300%, and they still lost.
Good lord.
Yeah. It's rough. But so is Red Dead Redemption 2 button decisions.
God.
Because I've accidentally kicked my horse like 3 times.
It's just so crazy that even the little things where, like, sometimes you have to hold the button in to complete the circle to do the action. Other times, just tap it and you'll sell all of your shit. You know, it's like there's no rhyme or reason for almost any button decision in that entire game.
And you cannot remap it. You can't even fix it.
I mean,
on the other hand, Smash characters, going back to Smash Bros. For a second, one of the things that was so exciting about the Smash Bros. Ultimate announcement was saying all the characters are here.
Yes.
And that excitement, it dies down real fast when none of the characters are there.
I wonder what percentage of players have unlocked 100% of the characters by now, a couple weeks after release.
I mean, I can tell you right off the bat, a lot of people will not unlock all of the characters for a year. I mean, when you're talking about, like, you're just some new kid. Because here's the thing, you also have to beat them.
Yeah.
If you're a little kid and you're playing Smash and you, like, lose to King K. Rool when you're trying to unlock him, and then you just... Or what if you never realize that to fight him again, you have to then go back into the menu?
Yeah.
and yeah. find that little weird door that does not, how does that communicate?
I mean, we should just say that everything Fortnite around wins. Fortnite is like,
so, people may not know this. I just got back from a Hawaiian vacation. Mm-hmm. No less than 3 children were flossing on those sandy, gorgeous shores. I am not even kidding with you, Scott. I was literally, today, we're recording this on Tuesday, came back on Monday. On Sunday, I was snorkeling. I raise up, bring my goggles out. There's a kid that is flossing in the water.
God, it's annoying.
I'm trying to enjoy my peace and beauty here, you know?
Yes, I'm trying to just take in the majesty of this tropical paradise.
Did you see that they're being sued for stealing some dance moves?
They are being sued by, I always forget this guy's name. The guy who played Carlton. They're being sued by him.
Oh, for the Carlton.
Yes. They're well, being didn't sued he do that dance by for? The, well, they're being sued by the backpack kid for flossing.
No way. The yep. backpack kid is suing them?
Yep.
He's got like an army of lawyers in that backpack, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing about Fortnite. Even the discourse around that game is extremely annoying. Yes. Because it's just there's so many stupid things happening around that game.
Yep.
But then, I don't know. I mean, the Smash characters, it's insulting to everyone. It's insulting to the people that just want this as a kind of loving museum piece of Nintendo and, you know, classic game paraphernalia. Yep. It's insulting to the tournament scene. It's insulting to the people that just want to see their favorite characters and like maybe are kids or don't have a lot of time to dedicate to it. It's insulting because it totally counteracts the marketing of everybody's here.
Yep.
I mean, gosh, like it's just, it really doesn't seem like the right choice, and it's kind of, and yet the game is still fine, so it's really, yeah. ultimately, it is just an annoyance.
I think you've convinced me, though, because here's the thing. That poor kid flossing on the beach, he likes it. You know what I mean? He's right. enjoying it, at least. So it's like, fair enough.
Right.
Is anybody enjoying having to do the crawl through the spirit track to try to unlock right. character because they didn't realize there's a way to cheese it by changing your fucking language to Dutch?
Yeah, now I know exactly how, like, start game looks in Korean. Thanks, Smash. You know, like...
Hey, on the other hand, language learning, you know?
That's true. Thanks. Then again, thanks, Smash.
Thanks, Smash. I think unlocking Smash characters, that is a real gear grinder.
It has to be, because it's no value, and it's just busy work. And
we've done it before. That's right. exactly why it's a gear grinder. It's right. like, oh, this again?
Right. All right. Congratulations, unlocking Smash characters. You are the biggest gear grinder of 2018.
Wow. Good job. All right. Our penultimate right. category. And this one I think we had last year as well. So I like this category. I think this is has a good long, one. Long lifespan. It's yeah. the, man, what the fuck category.
And we shall say this is the man what the fuck category can be something that is just kind of wild and outrageous. It could be something that's disappointing. It could be something that is... you know, actively sad or bad, like yep. what the fuck is a very multi-purpose phrase.
Yeah. Surprising moment. Yeah. Okay. The nominees are Drake and Fortnite. You know, he popularized video games.
So. Right.
Roseanne Barr and Fortnite. Oh, God. I never thought I would use the word. I never thought I would mention Roseanne Barr on the Experience Points podcast. I'm just going to put that out there. Fortnite in general. Sure. Fallout 76. Oof. Yeah, that exploded. Sony's E3 presentation. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the live action Pokemon movie.
Oh man, so many good ones here. Where do we start?
Let me just do this little test. I'm gonna look up. Hold on. Live action Pikachu.
Uh huh.
I just want to take a look at this image real quick. Ah! I mean, yeah. Ryan Reynolds. Here's the thing. I mean,
that it. Mr. Mime, what other response could you have to that Mr. Mime other than what the fuck?
And not just that. People who... Here's the thing. Right, everyone knows what Pokemon is, right? Pokemon's pretty recognizable around the world. But people yeah. who don't play video games... You know, I think if you're a mom or a dad and you've been buying Pokemon cards for your son for a few years now or your daughter or whatever, And then you're like, you're watching the new Marvel movie, you know, eating your popcorn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you see some freakish, like, slimy tongue of a Greninja that's being, like, on the screen from this Pokemon movie. And that click, you know, realize, what have I been introducing into the minds of my children?
What have I exposed them to?
That is a big what the fuck moment. It's got to be.
Yeah. It's.
What is the Roseanne Barr thing?
She was just getting on Twitter and talking a lot about Fortnite and like winning and getting her
anti-vaccine,
her first wins in Fortnite. But also just like, it's just, man. Good on her if she actually likes it. But it's also just weird that nothing about that seems right. Like, it seems like there's some sort of like, this is some weird misguided marketing campaign on both sides.
It's some glitch in the Matrix shit. You know? Like, if the Wachowskis were to remake The Matrix now, there would be, like, a, you know, like, an Easter egg would be Roseanne Barr commenting about Fortnite. Or the ninja comment about Drake popularizing video games or streaming or whatever he said around Fortnite. Like, what an inane, insane comment that makes no sense.
It's just like, man, what the fuck, guys? Like, can we pull it back? Can we dial it back a little bit?
Yeah. Can we rein it in here?
Fallout 76, like, geez, that's just a flat out, like, God, what the fuck happened, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one to watch. That's the thing, is that particular what the fuck is still maturing like a cheese, you know? It's still growing mold.
It's only medium. It hasn't even become a sharp cheddar yet.
Well, there are certain expectations that the game will have to be improved over time, as is the case with most games these days when they launch, right? So the question is, like, are they going to drop the ball again? Like, what is going to happen?
I mean, that E3 presentation of Sony, like, ferrying people around from room to room and just, like, listening to, like, a banjo for 10 minutes or whatever, like, what the fuck are we doing, guys? Like,
plus, anytime Death Stranding is involved.
That's true.
It's got to be a what the fuck moment.
And how they kind of threw back to, like, Sean Layden and a bunch of people at the desk, like, wow, that was a great trailer, guys. Let's do, like, a post-game report on it. Like,
one might say it was so what the fuck, they canceled next year's E3 presentation. the presentation's so weird.
I mean, I feel like, you know, the grumpy old man in me wants to say Fortnite in general, but I almost can kind of understand why. So it's like, maybe does that disqualify it? Because I feel like I can justify it. Like, okay, I know the components of why this is popular, so I guess I can't be too shocked by it.
Well, and also, same with Drake and Fortnite, right? Yeah. Like, who can forget the wise words of Soldier Boy's comments on Brave? You know? So, like, there is a history of that type of, like, funny, weird
outsider takes on
outsider takes on games. You know? I think the live-action Pokemon movie is going to be good, but it will always be what the fuck.
Right. And I think,
well, here's the thing,
Fallout 76, though, is also like, man, like, they knew that they were releasing a game to one of the most dedicated fan bases out there, and that they were releasing a game in an environment where open-world MMO and survival games are extremely mature. That's and true. People have very specific expectations, and they just seemingly whiffed it on every level.
They also released it against Red Dead.
Right. Oh, man. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Also, do you think that the Sonic live-action movie should be lumped in here?
I mean, I think that the fact that Sonic is still relevant in general is a what the fuck.
Sonic, what the fuck?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, they have what's-his-face. I forget his name. John Ralphio is I mean, I could see, it seems like they're making interesting moves there.
Did you see the poster and that gaping divide between his legs?
I mean, it kind of reminded me of some of that weird, you know, which one is the most anthropomorphic Pokemon, where, like, they're making Sonic weirdly human-like.
Also, are they making a dick joke with the Sonic poster? Because the Golden Gate? I was
trying to figure that out. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just me that some people thought that might be the case.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's the edgy one, you know?
I mean, we might be at the very beginning of the best marketing campaign for a video game movie we've ever seen, you know?
Do you think we'll see a Pokemon smoking a cigarette in the new movie?
I mean,
I feel like we got to see them do human-like things.
I could see. I mean, hell, Detective Pikachu should smoke a cigarette. He's a freaking detective.
He's a detective. Well, it should be a cigar.
I guess that's true, yeah.
They should have cast him as somebody else. They should have had, like, I guess Powers Booth isn't alive anymore, but that dude should have voiced. Yeah,
rest in peace, Dutch.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards Fallout.
I'm okay with Fallout because
it's so crazy how bad it was.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone could have predicted that at, well, probably a few people did, but at their E3 presentation.
Right. Well, there's also, I mean, I feel like that E3 presentation actually got people fairly positive on it.
There's also the really weird backpedaling of the nylon/canvas duffel bag.
Yes.
I loved that story. I know some people saw it as people looking for reasons to hate on Fallout 76, but I just enjoyed that story so much.
I mean, it's also just a good example of poor customer service, period. You know, yes. you are advertising something that you cannot deliver and then trying to sweep it under the rug. You know, that's just, it's like, what the fuck, guys? Like, we're not stupid. Like, we paid for a thing and we're not delivered that thing, you know?
I bet you people inside the studio are also saying, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, like, they were probably like, guys, what are you doing? Like, whoever was responsible for that, like, you're killing us over here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the devs, like, this is the last thing they fucking need, right? Yeah. Answering support tickets about, like, my duffel bag isn't made out of actual canvas. Like, that's terrible.
I think that's my vote. What do you think? Fallout 76.
I'm okay with that. Yep. Congratulations, Bethesda. What the fuck?
God, what the fuck? All right. So here we are.
Here we are, the gamiest game. We need a theme song. We need a gamiest theme song.
It is the gamiest game of 2018. And the nominees are The Messenger, Red Dead Redemption 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Monster Hunter World, and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu/Eevee.
You know, we had some light categories with Husbandu Waifu. These are some gamey-ass games.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I mean, where do we... Should I start with The Messenger? Because I feel like I played more of that.
Yeah, tell me more about The Messenger.
First off, it is based off of... It is a loving tribute to Ninja Gaiden from the NES, which is itself an extremely gamey, kind of classic, really appealing to people exactly our age type of game.
Yes, and we have had past winners, like Getting Over It, or have that sort of meta knowledge of the game space, and that's one of the reasons we award a gamey game the gamiest game nomination.
I mean, it is extremely meta. There are conversations in it about the game mechanics themselves. There's a bit where you can keep on talking to a character and he starts commenting on, like, oh, you think you're just going to get a new dialogue tree if you keep on talking to me? And then it punishes you by then going into a huge philosophical treatise that you need to button through and you can't skip.
Man, not skipping things is also gamey.
There are upgrade paths. There are, you know, there are kind of magic skills upgrades. But maybe the piece de resistance is not only is it a loving tribute to an 8-bit game, it is revealed halfway through the game that you get to go forward in time into a 16-bit game.
Oh! Nanny,
so
nanny.
Not only are they trying to get the, like, you know, the nostalgia factor of the 8-bit, they're also double-dipping and getting the 16-bit as well.
We almost had the retro-iest retro game on the list this year as a category, and this would have definitely probably been the winner.
I feel like this would have just gone for it. Anyway, that's The Messenger. So Red Dead Redemption 2, I mean, gosh, just in terms of pure systems, we've already just dunked on it. Like,
see superfluous systems commentary. Yeah. That's a good one. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Ugh, let's come back to this one, actually, because I want to put a hand on it. Let's talk about Pokemon Let's Go, because I added this to the list. Because anytime there's a Pokemon game, it's got to be added to the list of the gamiest games.
Yeah.
It is one of the gamiest and remains one of the gamiest franchises in existence.
Totally.
The sheer fact that two different copies of the game came out, and you have to decide which you need, Eevee or Pikachu, gamey as hell.
There's motion control involved.
Oh, God, yeah. Forced motion control at that.
There is integration with a mobile game involved.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Yeah, there's trading. Yeah, always a classic.
It's Pokemon in general, to your point, which is just itself is by definition extremely gamey.
Yeah. Very gamey. Monster Hunter World. You kill animals and eat their meat. That's gamey. So
that Rathalos is very gamey.
I hadn't considered Monster Hunter World as a gamey game at first.
Think about all the systems.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, all of God. Whenever you're looking at your items menu and like crafting.
You have to craft everything from like bait to traps to weapons.
And this isn't a bad thing, but I think that the idea of looking at what you need to get to craft something and then intentionally going, okay, well, here's how I'm going to map out and plan my farming of that resource to get it is as gamey as it comes. Like, that is a gamey thing to do. And it's a satisfying thing to do as well. Like, when you go and do it and you get the pieces and you're like, yeah, I can finally build my Rathalos helmet. Awesome. But man, that process itself is a gamey process.
And I mean, there's also that whole aspect of it where it is also a team-based, loot-based game. Like, that game is also basically Destiny.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a whole online component. There's an arena mode. There were seasonal challenges.
It's been that way for a while.
You mean that franchise?
Well, yeah, the franchise as a whole. I mean, similar to Pokemon, right? Like, these are gamey franchises.
Yeah, that is true. That is a good point.
Tell me about where
you're thinking about Smash Brothers, because you put a pin in this.
Because here's the thing. The reason I put the pin in it, and I think that, man, it's up there. It's real up there. Mm-hmm. I think it's really between Red Dead and Smash Brothers.
Agreed.
And
the
reason I think Smash Brothers is an important nominee is because there's a whole board game on top of it. Like, the entire Spirits track is functionally like a board game. It's clouded and obscured. It is one way to unlock characters, but it is by far the most inefficient and difficult to understand way to do it.
Right.
You're fighting Mario. Does that unlock Mario? I don't know. Maybe. It might have to tell you beforehand. There's this spirit system on top of it. The spirits themselves level up.
Yep.
The spirits themselves, when some of them reach level 99, go into a secondary evolution.
I remember seeing that tooltip on one of the loading screens, and it was like, remember, some don't evolve till they reach level 99. And I was like, what? What is this?
You can disenchant the spirits and then use their orbs to feed other spirits to then evolve them.
I mean, it is basically also a collectible card game, you know?
Oh, I mean, and that is goes, that's not even to say a commentary about any of the other options in the game, like playing through all of the challenges, doing the story missions where you choose a character and then fight through those modes that also then have this mandatory and super repetitive platforming level.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. There's like so many random little minigame things in that game. It's insane. Yeah.
And it's also just the fact that everything is locked is an inherently gamey approach to it.
Here's what I'm thinking, right? And how we decide which of these two games win our gamiest game award. Mm. Let's take all of Red Dead and we put it in a box. And we take all of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and put it in another box. And then we shake those boxes. What is the loudest box? You know, what has the most pieces? Just like rattling around in there and bumping up against each other. Because that's how you measure a gamey-ass game. You know, like, it's like, because honestly, if you were to tell anyone on the street, you don't even have to, they don't have to listen to this episode. They don't have to know what we're talking about. We just say, Red Dead in a box, Smash in a box, shake it around. What sounds like it is full of more Lego pieces?
Gosh, I mean,
because you were gun cleaning.
Yeah.
You know, horse brushing. Yeah.
Well, and also some of those, but then on top of that, the game, it's not just the mechanics. Like, Red Dead Redemption tries to also bite off a bunch of things like, oh, let's talk about indigenous peoples. Let's tackle racism. Let's talk about personal responsibility. Like, let's throw tuberculosis in there. You know, there's just so much also heavy-handed thematic stuff in it.
Yeah, there's some heavy thudding around that's going on in that box.
Yeah. Then again, Smash does have a fully voiced weird English-Japanese singing intro.
That's very true. Also, you get to watch every single one of the characters except for Kirby die. I mean, functionally, they're dead, you know, unless Kirby saves them, I guess. which he never will do because they'll never beat the Spirits World.
Yeah, exactly. Those people are dead. This is the end. This is
well. Crazy, and this goes back to some of the other like past nominees, but the amount of music that they've added to the game. If you want, you can use Smash Brothers Ultimate as just a video game soundtrack engine.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, I'm thinking about the box test.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to quantify. There is a certain self-seriousness around Red Dead that makes it even more gamey because it's trying so hard.
Well, and also the expectations around it because it is a sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, Smash is also, but it's also new. You know, it's also different. Also, here's the other thing. More things are being added to Red Dead Box at a faster rate than Smash. I mean,
you're right. We didn't even talk about the online component.
Oh, I played some online. Like, a voiceless character, like, random people shooting each other and, like, spawning chaos. Cans of beans that in today's market would cost $50. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. You're shaking that box around, and some guy's like, hold on a second, and just shoving a handful of, like, red Legos in there.
Oh, man.
And it will keep going that way. Because here's the thing. If Red Dead Redemption 2 doesn't win Gamiest Game this year, we're going to be obligated to put it in for next year's
It'll be 2019's 2018
game. Yeah, exactly. 2019's 2018 Gamiest Game. I really want to emphasize that we love how gamey all of these games are.
Oh, yeah.
Smash Brothers Ultimate is insane. I think in any other year, easy winner, hands down. Like, I think, again, against Getting Over It, Ultimate. Against No Man's Sky, Smash Brothers Ultimate. Against Fallout Shelter, Smash Brothers Ultimate. That is a gamey-ass game.
Yeah.
But in a year against Red Dead Redemption 2, I think Red Dead has to be the gamiest game.
I will say, to me, what it comes down to is the level of detail and attention they put into everything in Red Dead, but then they juxtapose it against this story that is meant to, like, really get you into the story, but then you just jump right back out to, like, managing inventory and, like, playing... spending hours playing cards and dominoes. And
that's,
like,
true, yeah. Other games just, within the game is always a gamey...
I feel like the difference between all of the various gaminess systems and then also the overwrought and really involved plot. Like, it seems like Smash Brothers just is more effortless about it, where it's just like, it's more graceful in a way, even though there are more crazy Lego pieces.
Yeah. It's also expected because it's Japanese, you know?
Well, and
it's
also like it is like Smash in that their whole thing is that we've made the gamiest Smash ever.
That's true. Yeah. That's part of the marketing.
Right.
I don't recall seeing anything about horse brushing in the marketing pamphlet, you know?
I think I got to go Red Dead as well.
Red Dead Redemption 2, the gamiest game of 2018.
Man, congratulations, Red Dead Redemption 2. You are the gamiest game of 2018.
What a year. You know, you get the belt. Incineroar, take it off. Give it to Red Dead.
Incineroar, take it off.
Maybe our gamey shouldn't be a trophy. It should be a belt.
Oh, man. It's the heavyweight belt. You know what it should actually be? The world undisputed champion.
It should be, like, if we were to actually make a gamey award, you know those complicated puzzle boxes? It should be that. It should be a puzzle box, like a supremely difficult puzzle box full of Lego pieces. So you can literally just shake it and just rattle it around. And
everyone then knows you have speech. It, too.
Yeah, they just, exactly. Yeah, you're carrying it around. Everyone knows you're gamey as hell.
Gosh, this was a great year for the gamies. I say that every year. It's one of our favorite podcasts of the entire year, but this was a good one.
Another great gamies. Man, I can't wait to see what's on next year's gamey list.
Where will it go? Every time we think things have gotten as gamey as they can go, we get more.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. I'm looking forward to Best Buddy Award. You know what I mean? I want 2019 to get some nice buddies out there.
Yeah, we need to get more companionship. We did a lot of stuff in 2018, but we forgot our friends along the way.
You know what I also love about this podcast?
They were all locked in. We had to unlock them. That's why.
The other reason I love doing the game is, by the way, is genuinely I think about it all year long. Like, yeah. I will be playing. Yeah. I will be playing a game in February, being like, oh, she's kind of waifu.
Putting this on the list.
Yeah, put on. Ooh, this is gamey as fuck. Like, I think about that as the year goes along, in the way that people think about their regular game of the year. It's like, oh man, this game's really great. Oh, go early, go to contender February. I'm like, ooh, early, like weird.
Early gamey contender.
Yeah. Oh, possible roommate opportunity. You know, so good.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for attending. Your gift basket is in the mail. We always appreciate you taking the time to listen. Next week, so this is kind of the 1-2-3-4 punch. Next week, I guess scheduling TBD, but we will, next time we record, we will be doing Goaties.
That's right.
We will do also honorable mentions. We will do things that we're looking forward to. We're winding down and then kicking off the year.
Yeah, winding down and winding back up again. Yeah. There's also games. Been quite a few games that have come out over the past like 30 days or so.
Yes. It's actually making Goatee stuff very difficult, actually.
I actually initially had that in the Grinding Gears category.
That's a good point.
Can you just stop releasing games in December? I don't have much time for this.
Right. There it is. Thank you everyone for listening. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is where you can apply to be our roommates. Go on down. We're accepting applications. Find us wherever you find podcasts, and we'll be around.
Cool. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Happy holidays. Every time we